couldn't have arranged it this way. As you know, we're just preaching through the minor prophets chronologically, and yet on Easter Sunday, we have one of the only passages in the Old Testament that prophesied about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ here in Micah chapter 5. So what a blessing that is. Even Sunday school this morning, again, I couldn't have planned it, but as we were walking through the question this morning was, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ real? And that happened to fall on Easter Sunday. No coincidences with God, amen? But that's true, again, with this passage here in Micah. You know, Micah, as we see, has been another one of the prophecies of God's warning, of chastisement. We saw in the last chapter his reminder about the kingdom, but also about Babylon, their chastisement that was coming. But he takes a break here in chapter 5 and inserts this beautiful prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is the only prophecy in the Old Testament that actually gives the location of the birth of Christ, the exact little town where Jesus would be born, given about 700 years before it happened. So another beautiful proof that the Bible is supernatural. Amen. 700 years beforehand, God said, my son will be born in this town. So notice Micah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So Bethlehem Ephratah, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege to open your word tonight and to allow the Holy Spirit to use it in our lives. We just want to glorify our Savior, especially on this day, and pray that we will leave having done that very thing. So may we open our hearts to hear from you and honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So notice, before giving where he would be born, God said that Jesus was to be smitten before he would become the judge. And of course, this is also a prophecy that Jesus Christ would have to suffer for sin, suffer for you and for me. And that's really one of the heart messages of Easter, isn't it? That Jesus Christ was willing to suffer and die on our behalf. So turn to Isaiah, please, chapter 53, which many people refer to Isaiah 53 as the gospel in the Old Testament. It would be the largest contiguous passage about the suffering of Jesus Christ. And verse 4 mentions him being smitten, as we read here in Micah 5:1, that Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, do you see that phrase, smitten of God? You know, we often, when we think about him being smitten, we think that men did it, and they did, but God allowed it. And we must never forget that. And that God preordained that Jesus was to suffer much pain, much suffering, much mocking, all of it for us. And we must never forget that. And so God here said that before he became the judge, he would be smitten. And of course, we know this to be true, that first Jesus Christ was smitten for us, crown of thorns planted on his head, stabbed, as we heard in the song this morning, with a spear, punched, mocked, and of course nailed to a cross, and then given vinegar and more mocking, all of that for you and for me. He was smitten for us, as we just read here, smitten of God. And then eventually, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he will become the judge. And he will judge not just the unsaved for their sins, but he will judge us not for our sins, but for what we've done with our Christianity between the day we got saved and the day we leave this earth. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This also lays out some chronology, doesn't it? His appearing and his kingdom. You know, there are those who teach that it's up to the church to bring in the kingdom. But no, first Jesus appears and he brings in the kingdom. And he judges when he appears. And that's what it says here. He will judge the quick and the dead. So he will judge the quick. That's us, those that have life, at the judgment seat of Christ. He will judge the dead at the great white throne judgment, where people will be judged for their sins. And so the judge of Israel will be the judge of all. First, he was to be smitten, which of course has occurred. But God then gives us this beautiful prophecy here in chapter 5, verse 2 of Micah, that God even prophesied the exact location where Jesus would be born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. And of course, we know this was perfectly fulfilled because God perfectly does these things. And Bethlehem, just to make it more beautiful, if you go to Ruth chapter 4, was also the little tiny town where Ruth settled with Boaz. Now, if you know the story of Ruth, it's a beautiful story where she was a Gentile, but she essentially converted to Judaism through her mother-in-law, Naomi, who lost her sons and returned back to this little tiny town called Bethlehem. And we know the story of Ruth and the kinsman redeemer and all these beautiful pictures of Jesus. But Ruth and Boaz became David's grandparents. Isn't that something? And so David's grandparents were settled in a little town called Bethlehem. And then centuries later, Jesus Christ was born in that very place. And of course it's fulfilled, Ruth 4:11, it says, I forgot to turn there myself. Ruth is way back there, isn't it? It's for 2 Chronicles. Well, it's even before those, isn't it? I know it's in the Old Testament somewhere, last I checked. Right after Judges. So, tucked in here. Ruth 4:11. All the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And so Ruth and Boaz settled in a place called Bethlehem. And so God here prophesied of the exact location. Isaiah prophesied of the why Jesus would come to earth, and that was to die for our sins. Daniel in chapter 9 even gave us the when Jesus would be born, which is how the wise men were able to answer Herod. Remember when he said, he inquired and they said, well, he should be born about this time. How were they able to figure that out? Well, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. I'm glad you asked that question. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. They were able to open up the Bible, look in the book of Daniel, and see the number of years until Jesus would be born. And it was numbered, of course, from when the order was given under Ezra and Nehemiah to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. Notice Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, so that commandment, remember, was given to Ezra and Nehemiah, from that time unto the Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And if you count it out, it was exactly 69 times 7 years from that order to rebuild Jerusalem until Jesus was born. The Bible's a supernatural book, amen? That God would give the exact year that Jesus would be born, the exact location, little town, and as it said, out of the thousand little towns in Judah, Jesus would be born 700 years beforehand, God said, in this little town he'll be born. Daniel said, about 500 years before, or through Daniel, God said he'll be born at this time. And we read this morning in Sunday school how that he would be born of a virgin. That was in Isaiah chapter 7. And, of course, the why in Isaiah 53. So back to our passage, Micah 5:2, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. So the one that would be born at Bethlehem Ephratah on the exact year that Daniel prophesied would eventually become the ruler. And again, as we've been seeing, it's with the Israel, it's always been about the kingdom, hasn't it? They're still waiting for their kingdom. What they've never been able to acknowledge is that the ruler of their kingdom is the one that they nailed to a cross. So let's go to Isaiah 9 and we'll see it again. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, where the Bible makes it very clear that the one who would be born would be God in the flesh, but that he would also be the ruler of the kingdom. So Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the one who would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah in the very exact time and location would eventually become the ruler of Israel. Hasn't happened yet. Still in the future. Zechariah 9:9. Turn there quickly if you would. But another prophecy about the kingly rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 9:9. One of the last prophecies about Christ given before the silent period. And it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Which, of course, that prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the people shouted, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. So God prophesied here that the one who would be smitten would eventually become the judge and the ruler of Israel, and told us the exact place that he would be born. Isaiah told us that he would be born of a virgin. Daniel told us when he would be born. Isaiah told us why he would be coming to earth, and that is to die and to suffer on our behalf. Back to our passage, Micah 5:2, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, the one who would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah is someone who is eternal, which means he has to be God, which we read in Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He has been from of old. When Jesus Christ was born, he didn't begin. He just became a man. But he had always been. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We're told in Colossians, he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Jesus always has been. The Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not, in John 1:10. And of course, in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus has always been. Jesus is everlasting. Why? Because Jesus is Jehovah. So Jehovah would become a man. That is the beautiful story of the universe, isn't it? That our Creator would become a man for the express purpose of paying for our sins. Could there be a more beautiful story than that? That our Creator would love us that much. So back to our passage here. Therefore, verse 3, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So again, Israel is to go through their punishment, which we've been reading about time and time again in the minor prophets. And we've been reading time and time again about the eventual regathering of the remnant. And their placement into the promised land to have their kingdom that they've been waiting for centuries. When they get the kingdom, he will be their ruler. Verse 4, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will be running the whole earth, and he already does, but he'll be physically on the throne of David in Jerusalem, running the earth during the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. So go to Isaiah 40, verse 11, and we'll see this, that Jesus Christ will, as he rules his perfect, peaceful kingdom as the Prince of Peace, he will be the shepherd. And, of course, he said he was the good shepherd, right, in John chapter 10. And he there was quoting Psalm 50 or 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But notice Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's talking about Jesus during the kingdom. He will be the great shepherd of his sheep. And he will be, as it says here in Micah 5, 4, in the majesty. When Jesus came the first time, he didn't come in majesty, did he? He came and was born in a manger. Imagine that. The creator of the universe was born in a manger. And he was clothed with humility, as we're told in Scripture. And the Bible says he was meek and lowly in heart. But when he returns this next time, he will return in majesty. The Bible said that the whole world will see it. Every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him. So look at Matthew 25, 31. Jesus even prophesied to the Jews of the day that when he returned, that it would not be as a lowly babe in a manger. It would be as the conquering king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with the two-edged sword out of his mouth. Notice Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Glory and majesty. So when he returns, he will return in majesty. He will return in glory. And as it says here, he will sit upon the throne of his glory. And they shall abide, Micah 5, 4, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So Israel will finally get their kingdom that they have been waiting for hundreds of years. And the one who was born in Bethlehem Ephrata will be their ruler, will be their king, will be their shepherd. It says there, they shall abide. Look back in Micah chapter 4, verse 6. It said, in that day, saith the Lord, well, I'll assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Israel will never again be scattered after the kingdom. They shall abide. And Jesus will be great unto the ends of the earth. The one that was born at Bethlehem Ephrata, he will be great unto the ends of the earth. Go to Revelation 11, 15 and we'll finish. So this is one of the most beautiful and very specific prophecies about the life of Jesus Christ. A prophecy about his birth, his birthplace, and another beautiful proof of the fact that this book is supernatural. Can you imagine if somebody come up to you and said, this person by this name in 700 years will be born in this town? You would just look at them like, you know, they needed to be in the loony bin. Because nobody can prophesy that where somebody's going to be born in a certain time in 700 years in a certain place. But that's exactly what God did. That Jesus Christ would be born in this place on this year. That's exactly what happened. That's absolutely impossible unless the Bible is supernatural. But Jesus Christ, as it says here, he will regather his sheep, Israel, and he will rule over them. And His name shall be great. Notice Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth he that is to be ruler in Israel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you.